Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, the streak continues. Another great Friday show. We did it. We put together another great Friday show. Two excellent, excellent guests today. Next hour, we'll talk about how to talk to a skeptic with Don Johnson, a convert to the Catholic faith, the maker of the movie Convinced, and just an all-around great guy. You're going to love Don for a whole hour. This hour, a topic I'm just so thrilled that we're tackling, learning to pray. How do we learn to pray? What are we doing when we're praying? What is this all about, and how can we get better at it? I think you will – well, I'm sure that you will avail yourself of the phone number. If you have any questions about prayer, we're happy to take them. 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH if you prefer it that way. Our guest this hour – is just one of the finest people on Catholic radio, Father Matthew Spencer, Vice Provincial and Director of Communications for the Oblates of St. Joseph, located at Mount St. Joseph in Loomis, California, born into a family of 11 children. And I have heard rumors he is the most annoying of the 11, but I do not know if that was the case. Father Matthew was drawn to the priesthood after a career as a software engineer, and that was interrupted by a health crisis that brought him to the priesthood. He hosts St. Joseph's Workshop. I don't know on what network. I do not know anymore what that network is called, but one of the great Catholic networks. Father Matthew, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Si. Can I tell you, I think your sources are bad.
Were the most annoying?
Exactly.
It's funny because it was your 10 brothers and sisters who told me that, so I don't know.
Well, of course, but if you ask my parents, then you'll get a different perspective.
All right. Yeah. So, your family was Catholic growing up.
Yeah. My parents born and raised Catholic, and they raised all of us Catholic, yeah.
And so you learned your prayers as a child.
Yes. Yeah. I learned how to pray in words, you know,
yes.
And then I learned how to do it from the heart with time. And I think I did that as a child, but definitely into my adulthood and continuing on, I'm continuing to learn how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so is there a point, do you think? Or maybe you said maybe you did it as a child, but so maybe there's not a distinct point where things turn for you that your prayer becomes different. Or can you point to a time or an event or something that deepened your prayer into this heart-to-heart kind of prayer?
I think one of the challenges of growing up as a cradle Catholic, as we say, somebody who's right. born into a Catholic family and baptized as an infant, one of the challenges is that we can fall into routine and life can become very, well, just systematically we go through the motions of things. So I would pray with my family, and my parents would lead us in the rosary, for example, at night. How much of my heart was I focused on God? How much of my time, or was I just saying the words?
Right.
And I think I'm hoping we can unpack that a little bit during this hour, you know, to talk about prayer moving from going through the motions, which is an important part of prayer, saying the words, doing the actions, but moving from there to, you know, this deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, which is essentially where prayer should lead us. So that took time. And I'll be honest, yeah, that took time in my life to work on that.
And now, is it necessary? I know this is going to seem like an odd question, but since we're celebrating the Reformation and all that this year and this month, and is it necessary for salvation that I have this kind of heart-to-heart prayer with God? Or can I just go through the motions? I'm crossing off all the to-dos on my Catholic to-do list.
Well, I guess it depends on what stage of life. You know, if an infant is baptized,
mm-hmm.
then we're quite sure that that infant is going to enter into heaven, right?
Yes.
Now, do they have a personal, conscious awareness of a God who loves them yet? Probably intellectually not yet. So right. I would say salvation in and of itself isn't dependent on me being aware of that relationship, but part and parcel of God's plan for our salvation is a relationship with us. And so an infant can have that because a child, even if they're not aware of God themselves, is in the loving embrace, metaphorically, of our Lord.
Right.
But we ourselves, it's not enough just to have a checklist once we attain the age of reason and once we become responsible for our life. It's not enough just for us to go through the motions and to, you know, finish off what I think is important on my checklist of things to do for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We have to enter into that relationship with our Lord. Otherwise, we're not being good stewards of the blessings and the graces that he's showering down upon us.
888-318-7884, our number. Father Matthew Spencer, our guest. Father Matthew is an oblate of St. Joseph and the world's leading expert on prayer. I've been exaggerating things all week. I know. I don't know why. I've just been struck by this exaggerating bug. But nonetheless, well-versed in the theology of prayer and willing to share the lessons of that with you, if you'd like to give us a call, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Do priests pray differently than lay people do? Is your prayer life different than mine?
Probably, because priests and religious as well. So I'm also an oblate of St. Joseph. I made vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience inside of a religious community, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain disciplines that we take on as members of a religious community or as priests. For example, as soon as somebody is ordained a deacon, they will commit to praying the Liturgy of the Hours, the official prayer of the church. And we pray it, well, people can pray it a number of different ways, but as a priest, I will pray that at least 5 times a day throughout different times of the day, praying the Psalms and praying some readings from Scripture and intercessions. Now, that's not exclusive to me as a priest or as a religious, and lay people can do that, but I'm obliged to as a priest and a religious. There's also an important aspect of mental prayer or meditation that I have committed to as part of my religious life. So are there differences? There are, but they're not necessarily only ways that I can pray. They're just ways that I have to pray by my vocation.
Hopefully,
other people will also pick them up because they're beautiful forms of prayer that aren't just for me.
Well, if you're doing that, praying this 5 times a day, you're also celebrating Mass every day. Do you think that the clock of the day becomes different for you because of that? That you're there are these moments then that you're always either at prayer or in between prayer times. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not just like, oh, I'll say a quick prayer in the morning and whatnot, but you're either at prayer or in between prayer times. And there's not that great a space, even if it's a couple hours or something, it's not an enormous space in between. Does that make a difference in how time passes for you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a really important observation that I'm glad you're wanting to highlight, because for me, things changed dramatically when I entered the seminary. I was trying to pray prior to that, and I was doing the best I could, praying the rosary and praying, you know, I was going to Mass daily. But to have your day punctuated by these different hours where you drop everything, you drop your work, you drop your responsibilities, you come in from the field if you're out there, you know, sowing seed or whatever it might be, you drop all of that and you come before Jesus and pray. That's really, really important. I mean, and it does change your day. Part of the idea is that it helps us to fulfill the scriptural mandate to pray unceasingly, to pray at all time.
Father Matthew Spencer is our guest, the host of St. Joseph's Workshop and a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph. I'll give that number again, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with your questions about prayer after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett from Catholic Answers Live. It's October, and as we head down the stretch toward the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount in addition. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 10:13, when sending 72 disciples out to preach and heal, Jesus told them, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." In preparing them for his future absence, he gives further evidence of his intention to found a church and to give it authority. Today, when Peter's successor, the Pope of Rome, speaks, the whole world listens. Even their very resistance to his words testifies to his great influence, an influence that originates far beyond his own person. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. For over 2,000 years, his church has made him present among us in Scripture, in sacrament, and in her authoritative teaching. Such can be found nowhere else. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, to our fantastic Friday lineup. Father Spencer, Father Matthew Spencer here, our guest this hour, and we're talking prayer. Every single line is filled up, so people want to know about prayer. Father, shall we go to calls?
That sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Stefan in Tucson, Arizona, listening on the Catholic Answers app. You are on with Father Matthew Spencer. Your question, please.
Hey, Father. First off, I want to say thanks for the show. I think it really has truly changed my life and encouraged me through my Catholic faith. I have 7 kids and ranging 11 to 5 months. I really want to start praying with them as a family every day. We did a couple of years ago when we first became Catholic, and I just felt that the kids weren't really interested. And I knew the father had said he grew up with a large family. I just want to know if he had any tips and tricks of sitting down and, you know, whatever prayers. We try to just pray the rosary, but I feel like my kids are always just kind of, they just sit there and say the words and repeat, you know, and I'm wondering if he has any thoughts towards that.
Yeah, well, Stefan, thanks for the call. I do have some thoughts on that. And, when I look at my own experience in family, I have 10 brothers and sisters. And my parents, from the earliest of ages of our life, they were trying to instill in us this love for Jesus and discovering that relationship through prayer. They could have forced a lot of forms and structures of prayer on us. But it became really clear, I think, to them over time that we were responding differently. So some of us could sit no problem through the rosary and we'd be fine. And others were so antsy and just couldn't sit and couldn't focus. What I really am grateful for, that my parents had this prudence, this ability to sense what would work, what was effective, and what wasn't. It wasn't a matter of accomplishing just finishing the rosary and saying the rosary. It was a matter of trying to get us, their kids, to appreciate prayer and to love it. And so they did that carefully. Sometimes that meant being strict and saying, hey, I know you're tired. I know you just did your schoolwork. I know you'd rather go and relax and do something else, but we're going to pray and we're going to do that carefully. And then other times they would relax the rules and it felt like they weren't just saying, oh, the prayer isn't important, but they said, well, you know, we'll pray one decade instead of the whole rosary because we realize people are tired and we want you to pray this decade well. We want you to pray and enter into prayer well. So I think my advice to you is to understand your children well and understand their needs and understand where they're coming from. And then communicate the importance and your love for prayer through your own example, through your own love for prayer. Don't do it when you're, or I should say, don't force them to pray when you're bitter about it. You should pray when you're bitter. You should pray when you're resentful, right? But don't force them to pray because we have to do it. It's an obligation. Do it because you want to do it and remind them that you're doing it because it's something you love.
Stefan, how does that sound?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree. I have one more thing. So one of my kids asked me, I mean, growing up Protestant, we always kind of pray in our mind, you know, not out loud. And one of my kids asked me if marrying the saints could read their mind, not read their mind, but, you know, hear their prayers if they don't speak them out loud. And I just wonder if you had anything to say for that.
Sure. It's a good question. So the saints can't, you know, violate that private part of who we are. But through the intercession, or through, I should say, through the power of God, then they can be made privy to that, right? So it's not a matter of us, wow, I can't hide anything from the saints. They know all of the private thoughts of my heart and of my head. But we can still pray to them in silence, because when we invite them into our life, then God will give them the ability to communicate to us in that way. So, and that's it. To me, that's an important distinction, right? Because people, we don't want to attribute to the saints something that's impossible for them. But in the, what we call the economy of salvation, right? The whole plan of God, we realize that God does want us to be in relationship and communicate with the saints. And that can happen even in the privacy of our own minds and hearts.
Stefan, thank you very, very much for that call. Father, he started by saying he really appreciates the show, but he didn't say whether it was your show or our show.
Oh, it was Catholic Answers. So it was Catholic Answers.
I filed it under Catholic Answers.
There you go. Definitely.
But I know we're both on in Arizona, but I just want you to know, I took credit for that in my heart.
Okay. I'll give you that one. Right. I'll give you that one.
Thanks. Nick, in Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, Si, if you take that one, I'll go ahead and throw it. I appreciate Father Matthew Spencer.
Come on, Nick.
Too.
Okay, so, all right.
Right on, Nick. Right
but
on.
But I do listen to Catholic Answers every day on the way home from work. So
you're
all good.
Nick.
Hey, before my really quick question, I just want to share a pretty neat fact. I received 4 sacraments in a matter of about 12 hours this Easter. I received my baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, Easter Vigil night, and then my wife and I had our sacramental marriage in church Easter Sunday Mass. So
whoa.
I thought that was pretty.
Congratulations. I was
sacramental grand slam. Yeah.
Yeah. If it was ordination, I was going to be really impressed. That's a wonderful story, yeah. Nick.
Yeah. So anyways, I just had a quick question about the rosary, and is it better or should you, when you want to pray a rosary for someone or something going on in your life, is it better to dedicate a rosary prayer to one thing and really concentrate and meditate on the mysteries and praying for the intention of one thing you want to pray for? Or can you have a list of a handful of things that you want to pray that rosary for?
Sure. Yeah, it does make sense, Nick. And thank you for calling in. And I'm glad to know that that you listen occasionally to St. Joseph's Workshop, too. You know, let me start off by answering, first of all, by answering a question you didn't ask, which is about intentions in the Mass, right? And I remember talking to a priest years back before I became a priest myself, talking about when we bring our own personal intentions to the Mass. I mean, can I do that? Because a Mass is, say, offered for a particular intention. Can I bring my own prayers there? And I always remember what he said, you know, about, oh, the graces of the Lord of the Mass are infinite. You can bring whatever you want, and all of those things will be answered and responded to. Well, clearly the graces, well, I shouldn't say clearly, but the graces of the rosary are not infinite in the sense that the Eucharist is. But there is such an abundance of grace that can be poured out upon us through the recitation of the rosary, through a relationship with our Blessed Mother, that I personally will give every single intention I have in that rosary to our Blessed Mother. I don't hold anything back. Sometimes certain intentions will arise to the top, and I will need to pray that rosary with all my heart for a specific purpose or intention. But it's not like mathematics. There's not like a calculus to it where we say, well, there's only so much grace here that can be divvied up, and so I better focus on certain intentions. We need to realize that prayer is about ultimately giving ourselves completely to the Lord, and He wants to satisfy every single prayer intention that we have. My advice to you is to don't hold things back. Turn them all over to the Lord. In the rosary especially, you know, name the particular intentions you have. Certain ones are going to rise to the top and be really important, but God wants everything that you have and all of the intentions of your heart.
Nick, thank you very much for that call from Salt Lake City. We go now, we're talking prayer with Father Matthew Spencer, so if you would like to give us a call, 888 888- 888-31 Truth is the number. We go now to Scott in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Scott, your question for Father Matthew.
Yes, so thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about the extraordinary form of the Mass and the old version of the Liturgy Hours. I've been learning about them, and a priest had been suggesting that it's better to be praying these old forms of the Mass. And I've been kind of confused about that and trying to understand that, so I just wanted to see if you had anything you could say on that.
Okay, I'll refrain from basically commenting on what the priest said, because I like to let people speak for themselves. But the and without him being here, I'd be afraid of that. But I would just say this, that the Mass of the Church, there's a beautiful continuity and diversity of expression there. But we realize that one Mass is not better than another. So it would be wrong theologically to say, well, this Mass is better objectively than, say, the Novus Ordo Mass. You know, the way that they're celebrated can be different, and sometimes the way that they're expressed can one Mass might have more reverence and more prayer and more beauty, and that helps us to enter into prayer together. But I would say, when it comes to the Mass, to be careful about setting up this false dichotomy as if one form is better objectively than the other, because it's not. I mean, the ordinary form is exactly that, the ordinary, the ordained way that we are invited by the Church to celebrate the Mass. And the extraordinary form is a beautiful option opened up to us, given to us by the Church, that also unlocks the treasury of grace for us. So when it comes to the Liturgy of the Hours, do you know, to me, there's an important aspect to consider subjectively to this, because as you might be aware of, the extraordinary form of the Liturgy of the Hours is in Latin. And that's, it can be beautiful, right? It can be wonderful, especially chanted, especially the way it can be prayed. But you have to realize also that we enter into that prayer to also receive and be changed by it. It's not just enough to pronounce the words. If you're not able to enter into that prayer and understand what psalms you're actually reciting, understand the words, that's going to be an impediment to what you're receiving out of it, at least subjectively. Okay. So the reason that, priests and seminarians would often have to learn so much Latin is because they're going to be immersed in Latin throughout their prayer life and throughout the liturgy. Both forms are acceptable and beautiful. But sometimes when it comes to the Liturgy of the Hours, anyway, it's going to depend on whether it's going to help you personally in your spiritual life or not.
Okay. Ed,
Scott.
Excuse me, Scott. Scott. I beg your pardon.
Was that helpful, Scott?
I got so yes. Deep in prayer there. Scott, how was that?
It was very helpful. Thank you, Father. Great. And I guess one addition to that would be, it was mentioned to me also the possibility of praying the old, you know, form of the Liturgy of the Hours, which typically is in Latin, but praying it in the vernacular, which priests couldn't do, but the lady could, and suggesting still that would somehow be better, because it's like different problems with the new, like with psalm prayers and just psalms being omitted and things like that.
I see. Well, that's certainly a possibility for you. And there's nothing in the Church that says, no, that's a bad idea. Okay.
Thanks very much for that. 888-318-7884, our number. We're talking prayer with Father Matthew Spencer. If I could just, when we talk about the ordinary form and the extraordinary form of the Mass, is it true that in the what we now call the ordinary form, there is actually more scripture read because of the three-year cycle than in the extraordinary form?
Yeah, if you mean there's more of scripture that's found in the liturgy now. I don't think you meant more time during Mass that scripture is being read, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So now in the revised, and I think a lot of liturgists, even those who prefer maybe the extraordinary form, would recognize that one of the beautiful things about the reform of the liturgy at the Second Vatican Council was amplifying the amount of scripture that we reflect on and we proclaim at Mass. And that's a beautiful part of the ordinary form.
It's beautiful to hear you say, though, that one Mass is not better than another. One is not more perfect. We have to be very...
They're both the celebration of the Eucharist.
Amen.
How can one be better than the other?
Amen. Father, we're talking prayer with Father Matthew Spencer Oblate of St. Joseph Priest and our good friend here at Catholic Answers. We'll be right back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the Church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Catholic Answers President Christopher Check, and I'm here to tell you about a unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. One of the ways Jesus answered his critics was to use their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own positions. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, renowned author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times to the present day and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics and one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is under attack like never before. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for this book at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Matthew Spencer, host of St. Joseph's Workshop, is our guest this hour. Next hour, Don Johnson will be here to talk about how to talk to a skeptic. This hour, we're talking about prayer, learning how to pray, and maybe a bit more about what we are doing when we pray. Let's go to Anonymous in Indiana. Anonymous, your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Hi, it's nice to meet a fellow oblate.
Ah, nice.
are you an oblate of St. Joseph, Anonymous?
No.
Oh, an oblate of a different sort.
Yeah. A Benedictine oblate.
Oh, Benedictine oblate. Very good.
So, wonderful.
That's almost as good. No, I'm just kidding. your question for Father Spencer.
I was wondering if Lectio Divina played a part in making it from saying our prayers, quote unquote, to actually praying, making those prayers ours.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful question, Anonymous. I wonder how many people know what Lectio Divina is, Sai. You know, you do. Oh, good. Okay. I'll just throw this answer back to you, Sai. You
can. No, that's not happening.
Lectio Divina is reading scripture, but reading scripture in a very particular way. In a monastic setting, we often talk about this 4-step process to reading scripture, where you read a short passage, you spend some time thinking about it, then you pray about it, and then you spend some time contemplating that passage. And those 4 steps are, I won't get into the Latin words for them, but they're all summed up together. They end up being this process called Lectio Divina. And it's a beautiful, powerful way to pray scripture, where we look at scripture, we read it, and then we allow it to enter into the heart of where we're at and enter into the circumstances we find ourselves in. And it's an ancient tradition, goes back to the early church fathers. It's a monastic tradition as well, later on, as we see people ruminating on scripture. My take on this is, Lectio Divina almost forces us to have to pray well if we're doing the process according to the traditional way, where we're looking at scripture and we're allowing it to penetrate our hearts, because it's not just getting through a certain amount of text or a certain amount of words, which can be helpful, especially say the rosary, that can help us focus our prayer. But in Lectio Divina, it's a way to meditate on scripture, which really helps to unlock the power of the Word of God. So yeah, Anonymous, I'd say it absolutely helps in our prayer life.
Does that address your question, Anonymous?
Yeah, especially since last month the question that I was given was the difference between saying our prayers and praying, and that was one answer I gave.
Oh, very
thank
good.
You.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
You know, since he said that about oblates, could you just tell me what does the word oblate mean?
Sure, yeah. The word oblate is comes from the word oblation, right? Oblation, meaning a sacrifice or an offering. And so in Oblate of St. Joseph, in my case, we are a pontifical religious community. We're recognized by the Vatican as a religious community. And we offer our lives as an offering to the Lord in imitation of St. Joseph. But there are many oblates around the world, and not all of them have vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But they're all called to basically offer up their life as a way of pleasing God by the sacrifice of their will and their life.
Ah, okay. Let's go to Ed in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Ed, your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Hi, Father Spencer. My question is similar to one of your earlier callers. When praying the rosary with my family, I've got kids aged 8 through 15, and I always struggle when I look over at some of my kids. You know, hearing your earlier comment, you know, we've obviously decided this is the time to pray, this is what we want to do. But when I look around during the rosary and I see that some of the kids repeatedly are not saying the words of the prayer, they're just kind of drifting off, looking at their shoes or whatever, I'm always torn between stopping and saying, okay, remember, you might say the words, let's fully participate, please, or just trying to be a good example, right? On one hand, you know, I want them to develop that spiritual discipline, but the other hand, I don't want to be the bad guy all the time. So can you kind of help me, give me your thoughts on how to balance that?
Sure. Well, thanks, Ed. I think it's a really good question and really important, and one that I think we have to recognize. The beauty of the rosary, in my opinion, is that there is the ability to be creative in a good way, not in making up my own prayers. But if you remember John Paul II, when was it? It must have been 2002, when he introduced the Luminous Mysteries and he published this document about the rosary, inviting people to pray the rosary. He offered many ideas for how to pray the based on our tradition, going back to St. John, for example, and looking at what it insert a title of Jesus that reminds us of the prayer. And it turns it from a prayer that I can just kind of go through and sometimes say without thinking the words to something where I have to focus more carefully. I'm saying that, Ed, because I think when you're praying the rosary with children, we have to use it as an opportunity for formation and not just an opportunity to have them pray it the way that we're praying it as adults. So sometimes, you know, having your kids lead the rosary will be important and taking turns leading the rosary. Having them choose maybe which mysteries and having opportunities for them to decide, maybe having them even say why they chose certain mysteries and what the purpose of that is. I guess what I'm thinking of is don't allow it to become rote and routine in the life of your family, but try and figure out how can I creatively help my children to not be distracted. They're distracted because they're kids, right? And their minds are going to be filled with a lot of ideas and a lot of different things. And that's okay. That's all right. We need to work with that rather than forcing a structure on them that might be difficult. So I don't know. Maybe you also come up with some ideas, knowing your children and thinking, what's the best way we can pray the rosary? I would just finish, Ed, by saying there is a balance here. Sometimes you're going to have to say to your children, no, we have to pray the rosary. We're going to do it. I know you're going to complain, but we're going to get through it, and that's going to be okay. But on the other hand, trying to identify why it's difficult for them and why they get distracted and working within those limitations.
Ed, Thank you very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking prayer with Father Matthew Spencer, Oblate of St. Joseph, and the host of St. Joseph's Workshop each morning on Immaculate Heart Radio. 888-318-7884. That number, if you have any question about prayer, we're happy to take that question today. We go now to Patricia in Malone, New York, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Patricia, your question for Father Spencer.
Yes. Something that's kind of dear to my heart right now is obviously remembering to pray for those in purgatory. My question is, I've always been under the impression that whether it's the Church Militant, whether it's the Communion of Saints, whether it's our guardian angels or Mary, that all of those together are praying, basically can pray for the journey of people in purgatory. But recently I had been told that really the individual themselves is really helpless to really go through the process, and it's really more our prayers, whether it's the Church Militant. And I guess I just want to find out, do we know that? Do we know if it's basically only others' prayers that can help them on their journey?
Okay, great question, Patricia. You know, I'm reminded of saints who have had visions of people in purgatory, or even experiences, spiritual experiences where they've seen people in purgatory maybe in their life. So they've seen them performing penances on earth. I'm thinking particularly of Padre Pio. He would see monks who had passed away before who needed some purification in their life, members of his own community, that he would see them doing things like setting up for mass and doing, right, going through the things that they maybe failed to do promptly and obediently when they were on earth. So there's a sense, as we understand it, that purgatory does leave some responsibility to the individual for them to be purified by the grace of God. But when they depend also on our prayers, there is also our realization that they're not able to pray for themselves. Why? Because the Lord has entrusted that responsibility to me and to you. It's part of this whole, as we were talking about before, this whole economy of salvation, the way that that salvation works, where you and I were in relationship with each other here on earth, and we're in relationship with those who have gone before us and are in heaven, and we're in relationship still with the suffering church in purgatory. And they depend on our prayers, and they rely on our prayers. So I guess I wouldn't say dogmatically that, hey, there's nothing they can do in purgatory for themselves. The whole reason they're there is because they're being purified by God's grace, and they're cooperating with God's grace in that way. But we do also understand that our prayers are a way to intercede for them that they can't do on their own, and that's important for their quick arrival into heaven.
Patricia,
does that kind of tease it out well enough, Patricia?
Yes. I mean, I guess my thing is also, it's not simply the Church Militant. Obviously, in concept, our guardian angels can still be assisting us. The saints in heaven, all of those entities could still be in prayer along with the person as they go through their journey.
Is that correct, Father Spencer?
Absolutely, and I would agree with that.
Patricia, thank you for that call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Father Matthew Spencer, our guest this hour, the host of St. Joseph's Workshop. We're talking prayer. If you have questions about prayer, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's October, and that means Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code winter at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off of hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
How can the Eucharist truly be Christ's body? Does belief in the real presence mean that Catholics are cannibals? Do the Bible and early Christians support Catholic teaching on the Eucharist? In 20 Answers, the Eucharist, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you deepen your own appreciation for this most precious sign of Christ's enduring presence in the world. 20 Answers, the Eucharist is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
We are talking prayer this hour with Father Matthew Spencer, and lots of calls, Father, so I'm just going to try to work through as many as I can between now and the top of the hour when I am stuck with Don Johnson, who will be coming in. Here we go now to Tony in Diamond Bar, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tony, your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Hi, what a joy to listen to the two of you, Father Spencer. Every time I listen to you, I just picture you with a huge smile on your face.
It's true. Very often have a smile on my face. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
I can hear it. I can hear it right now. And not to be outdone by Catholic Answers, I listen to you all the time, and I've learned so much from your program in the last 3.5 years since I've been back to the Catholic Church.
Well, thank you. It's a real blessing to do it. Thanks.
And thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, for equal time, you probably want to say something about me, but that's okay. Just your question, please. Do not do that. Just your question for Father.
Thank you. Okay. So every morning at 5 o'clock on Immaculate Heart Radio, I pray the rosary every morning at 5, but I'm still in bed. So sometimes I doze off. And I'll wake up again, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I've missed a whole decade. So I have been told, I don't know if this is true or not, that when something like that happens, our Blessed Mother will continue the prayers for us.
I've heard that it's our guardian angel. So we're going to have to adjudicate this somehow. And figure. I think there's no official church teaching on this. I shouldn't say I think. There's no official church teaching that says when that happens, then, you know, there's somebody else that finishes it for us. But I think in my estimation, the important part is this. When we pray, we give the best we can to the Lord. And we give him all of our time as often as we can. And I am so edified to hear that you're praying the rosary at 5 a.m. in the morning, right? While you're still maybe even in bed, right? And still just trying to focus on the Lord. Don't sweat falling asleep at that point. Don't worry about it as if your rosary didn't matter, as if the rosary now doesn't have the same, communicate the amount of grace, because that's not the point of the rosary. But I would say this, Because there are other times when we fall asleep. If we wait to pray our rosary till the last minute, and it's 10:30 at night, and I'm tired from a long day, and I say, well, now I better get around to praying my rosary, and I pray it. If I get into a habit of that, then what I'm doing is I'm giving the poorest time that I have to the Lord. So I'm not giving him the time where I'm attentive and I'm awake. I'm giving him the time that I just have left at the end of the day. To me, that's more problematic. That becomes, not that that's bad, and I'm not criticizing that, because sometimes that's all people can do. But I would just be, I would caution us. On the one hand, if we're praying and we fall asleep, don't sweat it. I mean, if our Blessed Mother finishes it for us, or if our guardian angel finishes it for us, that offering to the Lord is really special and important. But I would say we need to make sure that we're striving to give the best time that we have to the Lord, and not just giving him the time where I'm exhausted and I'm just kind of out of steam and I'm not going to pray well. Okay, does that make sense, Tony?
Absolutely. And another plug for Immaculate Heart Radio, the rosary comes on again at 8:30 p.m.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome.
That's okay, great. Enough with the plugs for Immaculate Heart Radio and Father Matthew, and come on now.
I like it. I like it.
I don't know why you do. We go now, and thanks very much, Tony, for your call. And we're going now to Abby in San Marcos, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Abby, your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Hi, Father. I don't know if you remember me. I wrote two letters to you.
Oh, my goodness. Abby, I do remember you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. I'm so glad we get to talk. What's your question?
Yeah. Okay. Yesterday, we saw a true story documentary called Mully. And he prays to God, and he has the Bible, and he's Christian, though, not Catholic. But he says that God talked to him, and there was, like, miracles. Like, they were praying for water, and that God showed him where the water was, and they dug a well, and the water came up. But how does that happen? Like, miracles like that are, like, when God speaks to him if he's not Catholic.
Sure. Okay, it's a good question, Abby. So it is important to realize that God listens not only to Catholics. Why do we know this? We know this because before Jesus came, before he founded his church, God had a covenant with the Jewish people, and God was hearing their prayers. God was listening to them and responding to their prayers. So we know it just from history. We know that that's an important part, that God hears us, not only to Catholics, but to all peoples. Well, we know this especially because God loves every single human being that exists, because everybody is made in his image and likeness. There is something very special, Abby, that happens when you and I are baptized, when we're incorporated into the body of Christ, when we become part of the church, then there's a special new relationship that God gives to us. And that makes our prayer more effective. It makes it possible for us to be in more intimate relationship with Jesus. But we should always realize that no matter where people are at, whether they've been baptized or not, whether they're even reading scripture or thinking about Jesus, God will listen to all people when we turn to him, okay? So it's not a matter of you have to be Catholic in order for God to hear you, but being Catholic really helps in us having that deep relationship with God, okay?
Does that work for you, Abby?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Abby, great to, I'm so glad you called in. God bless you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Man, you have a lot of fans. Nobody writes me a letter. I never get a letter.
I'll write you a letter, Si. I'm a fan, yeah.
2020 Gillespie Way. Send me a note. Okay. Here, will you, Father? Susan in Louisville, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Your question for Father Matthew Spencer.
Yes. I was wondering, St. Augustine, I read that he had the seven penitential psalms posted about the room as he lay dying. I was wondering what those seven penitential psalms are.
Ooh, asking the tough questions here. Okay, that's interesting. You know, I hadn't read that. I didn't know that St. Augustine prayed those seven penitential psalms when he died. But I can tell you this. I wish I could list off the different psalms to you by number and help it, but I'm afraid I don't have that at my fingertips. But I can tell you this, that there are different types of psalms. Some psalms are about praise and worship and adoration of the Lord. Some psalms are about his kingly attributes and him, you know, leading us in majesty to salvation. And then some psalms have this very penitential nature to them. For example, a few that I know offhand, Psalm 50, Psalm 88, these are psalms that talk about, well, the difficulties that we experience in life, the sufferings that we have, the ways that we've sinned against God and how sorry we are for them and the penance that we're going to have to do. So I'm going to have to, Susan, I'm going to have to leave it at that, unless, Si, you know those seven psalms offhand. But I would say that there are psalms, I'm not sure, and I couldn't say with surety that there are seven of them, but I do know that there are psalms in that genre, we call them, that are focused on penance and prayer and repentance for our sins.
The only thing I would add to that is I know that they are somewhere on the EWTN website. So if you just wrote EWTN seven penitential psalms into one of your search engines, you'll end up with it. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, if I could talk and search the internet at the same time, I'd be a master at this, but I can't. So
it's right when you need a penitential psalm too, for not knowing an answer on Catholic Answers.
Man.
You better pray all seven
I
of
will.
Them later, Father. I will. Susan, thank you very, very much for that question. We go now to Joe in McAllen, Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Joe, your question for Father Matthew Spencer. And I warn you, Joe, we're coming up near the top of the hour, so let's make it as quick as we can.
Hey, yeah. Hey, thank you very much. Father, thank you for doing the show. I think prayer is a very interesting topic. I'm a Carmelite, Father. I'm in my second year, going on my third, and so I do some of those prayers. But you're a father. You know, you stand in place of Christ in Mass when you're offering it.
And I do not like to interrupt you, Joe. Joe, I really don't want to interrupt you, but we are coming to the top of the hour, so you got to put it in the form of a question for Father.
Sure, sure. So what I'm trying to ask, Father, is how do we, as the participants and not the celebrant, what are some of the pointers you can give us so that we can participate in the Mass perfectly to make
wow.
it a perfect offering?
That's a great question that we will probably end on. Wonderful.
Good. Okay. Well, Joe, thanks for calling. I would go back to the Second Vatican Council, which encouraged us, challenged us to celebrate and participate in Mass fully, consciously, and actively. And you can plumb the depths of those different adverbs in ways that are really, really important. Fully, by giving your whole heart and mind, right? Consciously, by being aware and attentive to what you're doing. Actively, by doing what is our responsibility during the Mass. So for me as a presider, it means to fulfill my responsibilities as a priest and as a celebrant. But for others, it means to be involved in the prayers, to respond at certain times, to pray for people in the Mass. So that's kind of what I would get back to, is to say the Church invites us to pray fully, consciously, and actively. And that's kind of boils it down to the essentials of participating in Mass well.
Thank you very, very much for that call. That was very quick that he put that. Father, Psalm 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, nor chasten me in thy wrath. I'm just giving you this for later.
Okay, I'll meditate on that.
This is a penitential psalm. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Father, may we have your blessing before we go?
I would be honored. Heavenly Father, bless all of our listeners so that they might continue to grow in grace through a beautiful and fruitful prayer life. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Matthew, I can see why so many people are your fans. It's been a delight to have you here. Thanks for it's a very important topic, too. And I appreciate you taking the time to do it with us.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Si. I'm always happy to be with you.
If you want to know more about him, just look him up. Father Matthew Spencer, Oblate of St. Joseph. You'll get him. Or just look up St. Joseph's Workshop. Next hour coming up. Well, man, we are finishing the week strong. Don Johnson will be here. We're going to talk about how to talk to a skeptic. And Don should know, a convert to the Catholic faith and the maker of the movie Convinced. This is Territory Well Trod by Don. We'll be right back with Don right after this on Catholic Answers Live.